Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, and welcome to another Monday night special guest show on the NASA Family Podcast. I'm your host, Bailey Smith, from South Florida. We have a great guest tonight. Her name is Aloysa from Queens, New York, a survivor of childhood, physical, mental, and emotional abuse, and she's also an adult advocate for domestic violence, yay, so am I, and for childhood abuse. Aloysa had a very tough childhood. She dealt with an alcoholic father and a mentally ill mom, and I am going to bring her onto the show again tonight. We have special guest Aloysa. We would love to hear from people, panelists. We'd love to have panelists on the show. 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. Aloysa, I'm opening up your mic. Welcome.
Hi, Bailey.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Hello. We love having new guests. And I'm very excited because we don't get many domestic violence advocates. And I'm a very big one. I also watched your YouTube video today. And it was great. So I'm very excited to hear some of your story. We have Charlie, who's my co-host tonight. As of now, we don't have any panelists, so feel free to talk, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. If we get some panelists, then we'll bring them on. If not, we'll bring Charlie on. Talk as much as you want. And when you want to take a break, if I don't stop you, take a break.
Okay, well, thanks for that introduction. As Bailey said, my name is Aloysa, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And my childhood was nothing that you would wish upon anyone. As I state my story in my YouTube video, I am a product of an alcoholic father and a mentally ill mom. A lot of times people would look at my story and say, oh, you had such great parents. They always provided for you. They're always helping you. My dad, you know, was always there. We always had food on the table, clothes on my back, and sent me on trips, and he always provided monetarily. But what was very much missing, and even still till this day with my father, to start with him, is any type of emotional or bond, a mental bond that you could have in a relationship with a father and a daughter. I think that's very important, especially to build your identity as a young woman. You usually look up to your mom and dad, you know, for advice. And just to see their dynamic, it wasn't a healthy environment at all. Going more towards my mom, She suffers a lot, I would say, from depression and anxiety, and so many traumatic things have happened to her in her past that she's not able to release what has happened and actually step into today and her future. So she lives in a lot of regret, a lot of negativity, never encouraging, always discouraging, very angry, very negative, very dark. So just to paint a picture of what my parents were like towards me, to go into their relationship just as a married couple was absolutely horrible. They've been married for over 40-something years. They're still married up to this day. But from as far back as I can remember from a child, they fought constantly. If it was not verbal, it was physical, always yelling, always cursing at each other. They were in a very, and they still are, in a very negative, dysfunctional, toxic cycle. What they would do is argue, yell at each other, maybe walk away from each other, and just a few minutes later come back and talk or eat or play cards and act like nothing was wrong. So growing up in that kind of cyclical environment, I was very, very confused for a long time, because as a child, you really don't have any say. You don't have a place to live. You have to follow the rules that you're given, and you have to, unfortunately, absorb your environment. And I also grew up with parents who were very old school, so they didn't allow me to talk much. It's like a child must be seen and not heard. You can't state your opinion, how you feel. You know, my dad was very, very verbally abusive. Curse you out in a New York minute for everything. If he's having a bad day, you get cursed out. If you ask him a question, you get cursed out. If you need help with homework, you get cursed out. He was just very angry. He would just like to get up, go to work, come home, eat, have a drink, and go to sleep. Like, he doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want to talk. Especially about anything deep. He just wanted to work and pay the bills, and he thought that was parenting and that was being a husband. There was no mental or emotional or just social interaction. Like, if we sit around the table, up to this day, no one talks. It's so weird. Like, they'll play the news in the background or the radio. They may talk about current events, but just like, how are you doing? Hi, what's going on? You know, how are you feeling? How is your health? And forget about talking about mental health. Like, you're not allowed to be weak. You're not allowed to cry. That was my dad's main thing. Just go to school, get a good job, make money. Like, that, you're nothing if you don't have an identity through a job and money. Like, you're nothing. So that's what was instilled in me for a long time through my father. And then from the verbal abuse from my dad, I moved on to a lot of physical abuse with my mother. Like I said, she was very angry, a lot of regret, and she told me a lot that I was the blame for a lot of her problems. I obviously didn't ask to come here, but it seemed like I did, because I was blamed for everything. Like, if it wasn't for you, I can be in school. If it wasn't for you, your father wouldn't be so nasty to me. You create a lot of problems. And she painted such a horrible picture of me to everyone around. If it wasn't family, it was friends. And I didn't realize, obviously, all of this till I got older. I wanted to know why people thought so low of me, or like if we went to a family gathering or church or anywhere, like they would say, oh, Aloysia gives her mom such a hard time. That woman has such a hard time with her. She's a really terrible kid. She's very disrespectful. She's very angry. She wants to fight. And part of that was true. I was very angry. I was very angry because I was being abused and mistreated at home. And you get hit for crying. You get cursed out for asking a question. It was just like they took turns or took shifts with me. So, for example, my dad worked overnight, and that in itself is a very difficult job shift. So during the day, he would just want to sleep. And then my mom worked in the day. So it was just like when she came home, he would go to work and then just take shifts with me. Nobody really wanted to talk to me or help me with my homework, so I kind of just had to fend for myself. And as I say in my YouTube story video, the best part, or the only friend I really had up to this day too, is my journal. I love, love, love to speak. what I couldn't speak growing up, so I love to write. And I put the pain and heartache and brokenness that I went through in writing. If it was not poetry, it was just journaling and just saying not only what was going on, but actually venting what I couldn't see in reality, in person. I wanted to say how I felt. I wanted to ask why they hate me so much, why you blame me for everything, why you look at me like I'm such a horrible person, a horrible kid, and I really wasn't. I was trying my best. I had some difficulties with grades in school, not that I wasn't a good student or I wasn't trying at all, but it was because I had such a rough childhood. The teachers would often say I needed to be like in a slower class, or I needed more assistance or tutoring or just overall help because I was slacking and falling behind, not because I wasn't trying, but because I couldn't keep up, and I would get in trouble for that. So I was very mislabeled and misunderstood growing up. A lot of people thought the worst of me, and that negative vibe and identity kind of like followed me like a shadow until adulthood, until I really realized my true identity, and that all the lies that were told to me growing up, that I wasn't worth anything, or I wasn't smart, or I'm stupid, or I shouldn't be here, or my mother told me she should have aborted me. And it was so many things. And the hardest thing is I do have one sister. We didn't grow up in the same household, the same parents. And she and I weren't close. So it was like I had not even one person who I could, like, confide in or someone who could stand up for me. If I tried to tell my dad about my mom, he would say, yeah, yeah, and, like, take my side and then behind my back go and talk about me with her. And it would be the same thing. I tried to tell my mom, you know, dad cursed me out today, or I'm having a hard day, or, you know, I want to talk, or I want to watch TV, or can someone talk to me? And she would say, yeah, your father is so-and-so and so, and then make me feel like she's on my side, and then they would gang up and talk about me. And it was a really, honestly, horrible, horrible situation. I know a lot of people are victims, or as I like to say now, I'm an overcomer of childhood abuse, but I know it's hard for me to accept. Like, I know some people may have one great parent, or someone who, even if they're a single parent, support their child, or a mentor, or a uncle or aunt or sister, somebody that could have been on their side. But I really honestly felt alone. I felt very alone in the world. I felt very misunderstood, like no one got to know the real me.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks, Billy. You know, when you think back and you talk about it, it was very hard at first, but now I'm able to have revelation as to why God allowed me to have this life. Because I'm sure as many children right now who are in abusive homes or abusive situations and toxic situations, you always blame yourself, unfortunately. You're like, why me? Like, why was I put in this home? What did I do wrong? Why can't I get anything right? And I see so much healing even in myself now that I obviously wouldn't wish my journey on anyone, but I'm literally the strongest person that I know. Like, no one in my family, and many people in my family, have either went through domestic violence or my grandparents had, you know, yelled at them or cursed at them or hit them or something. And there's so many things that were swept under the rug, especially in my family, that no one would dare not talk about. And I feel like I'm the generational curse breaker. I'm the one in my family, even in friendships, in life, that is so strong to come out of something and be strong enough not only to talk about it, but to advocate for it. I'm able to look at other people who are hurting and say that your life doesn't have to be like this for the rest of your life. You know,
Right.
You don't have to. It's so hard, you know, to come out of it. Like, you're like, this will never get better. That, you know, what they did to me, and you hold on to it. And I'm not to say at all that I'm not angry or still hurt and, you know, wonder why they can't change. But I really realize that I have changed. I have truly forgiven them. I still love on them a lot. They have not changed by any means. I am not as close as I wish I could be, but the only thing I can show them is a different way of life, like to just love on them, to just love them. They're very hurt. They're very broken. They're very misunderstood. They never were able growing up, just like they taught me to talk about anything. They don't know about feelings. They don't really even have an opinion. They just get up every day and just survive. You know, they don't enjoy life. They don't even know how to celebrate themselves or people. I feel bad for them, to be honest, at this point, because I have actually taken the journey and did the work to heal, not just hide or cover up or sweep anything under the rug, but actually do the work. If it's venting, if it's talking to a counselor, if it's talking to my pastor, if it's talking to other people in groups, such as, you know, the group that we're in for survivors, adult survivors of childhood abuse, and, you know, just being involved in something where people could understand you and you could actually have a safe space to talk. It's work. People don't want to do the work, including my parents, but I'm just so thankful that I actually came out on the other side, and I'm now able to advocate and help others who have been in any type of situation, such as that I've been through growing up. And because of that situation, why I was trying to emphasize so much about a parental-child relationship, especially between a father and a daughter, because my father was not there for me growing up in the sense of mentally teaching me my worth, what a man is supposed to be to a woman more than a paycheck, how they're supposed to treat them. You know, I grew up seeing my mother provoke my father and my dad curse my mother out and pointing fingers and name-calling in the street and in public, and it's always very embarrassing. And it's just like I never saw a healthy example. As I got older, like in high school and college, and I started to date on my own, I would not on purpose choose people similar to this type of toxic environment and relationship, but that's unfortunately what I found myself in. And I couldn't understand. It was kind of like a comfort zone. If the person didn't treat you nicely, you know, it was what I was used to, even though I knew in my head that, man, this is not nice. They're not supposed to hit me or talk down to me or curse at me. But I just got caught up in that because not only that's what I was used to, I was never taught a different way. I didn't know it's okay to know your worth and to learn your worth and to get out of those situations and to heal and to be by yourself and not allow. You have to teach people how to behave in your life. And it's something that I was never taught until adulthood. And it was a point where it got really, really bad in a domestic violence situation that I had to say, hey, either I'm going to die, this guy is going to kill me, or I'm going to waste away
how
here.
How about we stop, because that's like another topic. So I think this is a good, if you don't mind, I think this is a good time to take a break. Is that okay? Because that's a whole nother topic. Okay. I was just writing notes. It sounds like in your family, it was a generational of abuse. It's the vicious cycle, and hopefully you're going to be the one to break that generational vicious cycle of abuse. And when you advocate, I know that I always, in the beginning, I always said, why did this happen to me? What did I ever do to deserve it? And there's still times I question it. But then I look at myself and I say, look how many people I'm helping. Like, you know, I post memes all the time and posts and stuff like that. And for example, today one person sent me a private message. Thank you so much for your posts. I love reading them. They mean so much to me. That made my day. It made me so happy.
Wow.
So then the other thing I just wanted to say, and then we'll go to my co-host, Charlie. When you are in an abusive relationship, let me take a step back. When you are in an abusive home, and that's all you know, okay, and it's horrible what you went through, I think that as you get older, you're drawn to that drama. You're so used to, like, you crave that drama without even realizing it. Because I went from
right.
21-year marriage to the next serious relationship that I ever had, other than my ex-husband, was drama. And I was healthy, or so I thought I was. I had gotten tons of help.
Right.
So it's like you get drawn to that until you finally, it snaps in your head, in your mind. This is not normal. This is not okay. I deserve better.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I'm going to get Charlie on. Welcome, Charlie.
Hey, how are you, Bailey? Aloysa, I got to tell you, you hit on something numerous times throughout your first segment here, and it's the importance of a father being actively involved in his daughter's life in a positive way. I'm a dad to the most amazing 29-year-old woman in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And the one thing I made sure when unfortunately her mother and I went separate ways, my daughter didn't lose her dad, because you're absolutely right. I'm sorry you didn't have that experience. But I'm going to tell you, you sound like you're more than an overcomer, by the way. Overcomer is an awesome name, but I'm going to give you a new one that I learned, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Well, here we go. Ready? It's a guy, he's actually from New York, where you're from as well. He writes a lot of books and he does the thing, but he calls those of us who are doing what you're doing, and many of us, transcenders. So we have transcended and we have overcome, and we're not repeating the process. So you are a transcender. It's even greater than just overcoming it. It's overcoming and surpassing.
Wow. I love it. I love it. That's going to be my new name. Yes, I love it.
There you go.
And I say warrior.
There you go.
I love that too.
Yeah. Survivor to warrior.
Right. You're very well spoken, Aloysa. I can hear that. And it's funny, I don't hear the New York in your accent though.
It can come out sometimes.
we'll leave it alone for now, all right? But I just want to say I do want to encourage our listeners to call in 646-595-2118 and go on our website and check out Aloysa's YouTube channel. I'm getting ready to go do that right now myself. I'm going to give it back to Bailey. Aloysa, I look forward to hearing. You know what? I say this. I don't look forward to hearing more of what you have to say about your story and what happened that caused you to be here, but I look forward to hearing about where you are today, as we close out the show later on. But thank you for being here. Thank you for having the courage to come out and share with the general public what's going on. This show does have an international outreach, and it will be archived into perpetuity. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
We have Mary Ellen from New York. Wow, all New York. Mary Ellen,
hi.
Welcome. How are you?
Hi. I'm well, thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you for sharing your story so far. I guess that whole history of family domestic stuff going on, growing up, and then not knowing what's normal. You know, you don't want that, but you don't know what's normal. So it's definitely a work in progress. Thank you for sharing with us, and I'll continue to listen.
Oh, thank you for calling in. I'm glad that my story is touching lives all over the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Appreciate
you
calling in. We have a new caller. If you want to continue for a little bit, we do have a new caller. I just don't know who it is. Charlie's finding out. So if you want to continue a little bit, and then we'll have them come on and see if they have anything they want to say.
Okay, sure.
Oh, Charlene.
I wanted to actually...
Yeah, okay, go on. It's
okay. Okay. What Marianne just had called in and said, it is the normal. Your dysfunction, not normal, is actually your normal. So that's a great point that she brought up, because I was going through life exactly believing that's the norm. So if I would yell or be very angry in public or talk down to people or the guy that I was dating, or just emulate and imitate, unfortunately, a replica of what I saw growing up, I thought that was normal. And I thought yelling and just being in this toxic environment all the time and how dysfunction would communicate with each other was what I was supposed to do. And it really started to open my eyes not until I went to college. I went to Arizona State University, and it's another coast, so East Coast versus West Coast, totally different vibe, different culture, different weather. And I started meeting people from all over the country and even the world who were going to my school, and even just hanging out with classmates and my roommates and dorm, and being able to be in a new environment, aside from everything that I knew, and literally be taken out of that home, not just going to school during the day and coming back to that home at night, but living in a dorm, living in a totally separate coast, and meeting people who actually respected me and loved me and cared about me as friends. My friends became my family. Like, you would eat together, you do life together, you can tell each other's story. I met other people who have been through hard times through their childhood as well. And that was really the beginning of my healing, just to say, like, wow, there is actually a different life out there. There are people who can respect you, who can be nice to you. Like, you don't always have to feel like you're nothing. You don't always have to feel like you're broken and this cycle wouldn't end. And the most important thing that I learned is that you have a choice. Like, you have a choice in who you speak to every day. You have a choice in who you date. You have a choice in who you even associate with in your own family, especially if they're toxic and dysfunctional, like they were growing up and they haven't changed. Like, you have to love on people and forgive people, but you also have to make choices that are the best for you. And that was the hardest thing that I had to do, is cut a lot of people off. But it was the best choice that I ever made, because without doing that and actually removing myself from the situation, because I can't heal them and I can't change them even up to this day, but all I can do is work on me and heal me, because a broken, empty person can't heal or have anything to give somebody else. You can't help on E, on MG. So I had to fill myself up with positive affirmations and prayers and scripture, and just really reteach myself, renew my mind, and realize that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I had to know that this life that I was given is not the end of my story.
Wow. You've come a long way, and, you know, I think you're a survivor and a warrior. And again, you know, we go through certain things in life, and there's a reason, and that is because we become strong enough. We become extremely strong, and we are there to help others. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring Darlene on. Is that okay?
Sure.
Hi, Darlene.
Hello. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. Hi. Nice to meet you, Darlene.
I'm doing okay, thank you. I understand what you were saying about the norm and having to shut people out of your life, and that's the best thing you ever done. Well, I had to do the same thing because I had decided, do I want to be around that toxicity or do I want to heal? You know, so
yes.
I had to make a choice
yes.
between toxicity, which is killing myself, basically, in the long run, you know, because of stress and everything else, or do I deserve to be happy? I'm an adult. I got a choice about getting away from that kind of an environment.
Right.
Exactly. So you are strong, girl.
And, thank you, and so are you.
Thank you. There was one thing, you know, about the norm. Most people might think they're crazy or whatever. And one time when I asked my psychiatrist, was I crazy, right? He says, well, he explained to me what crazy was, okay? He says, now, if you were shot at like I was, okay, and you all of a sudden heard a gun go off and then you just wanted to be around the gun and all this other kind of stuff or whatever, you know? You know, and was
right.
not nervous about, you know, hearing the gun go off, then that would not be normal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the PTSD is normal for what I endured and normal for other people that endured the same, you know?
Right.
So even though people might think you're crazy or something because you're shaking or whatever, they hadn't lived your life, but that's the norm for you, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And insanity, just like AKA crazy, is when you do something repeatedly and expect a different result. So I think the real people who are crazy are calling you crazy, but they're crazy because they keep doing
yeah.
the same thing, saying the same thing, staying in the same environment and expecting change. So you really
yes.
have to look at the sources who's telling you these things, because they might be telling you exactly what they're talking about themselves.
Yeah, and sometimes they are too afraid to leave their situation and think that they cannot leave their situation. They don't know all these different programs that would help them. Even if the cops don't, there's other ways that people can get out. You know, like at NASCAR, we got a lot of different links where we can help others.
Right, absolutely. That's the best healing, is when you come to a place where you actually are healed and whole, and you can actually help someone else. That's the best healing. You say, wow, not only did I help my situation, but I can help someone else.
Amen. Me and you are right on the same path, girl.
All right,
well, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Darlene.
My friend Leah is here. Let's bring her on. Hey, you.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Hi, Leah.
Welcome.
Enough only to go. I wasn't available earlier, so I didn't catch everything, but I'm always impressed with, you know, everybody on this show. I just think everybody is incredibly strong and unbelievable people, really.
Well, thank you so much.
Leah, I sent you her bio on your WhatsApp, so you can look at it.
Okay, so I'll read it later when I get home. I'm just driving, so I'm listening in the car.
Oh, okay. Okay, no problem. I'm going to put you on hold. That's one of my best friends, and she's been through hell and back and still going through hell and back, and a lot of your story she could relate to. So I sent her your bio so she could read it, because I knew she wouldn't get time. She would call in late. So anyway, let's go back to Charlie, and then we'll go back to you.
Okay.
Oh, you caught me at a speechless moment. I just want to give Aloysia some more time to share what she will and what she wants to. Like I said, I do look forward to that day, Aloysia, when we go to look for somebody for a special guest and we go, we can't find anybody. It's getting harder and harder because we've lessened what's happening. But amazing power. I'm only about an hour and a half from you, and I get myself over to New York occasionally, so we'll definitely have to catch up sometime. But I want to hear some more about. Yeah, you have great energy, and I want to connect you up with some people out there as well. I've been looking a little bit over your LinkedIn.
Yes, all right, that would be great. I look forward.
Absolutely. Likewise. So, Bailey, you're doing a great job. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and just silently listen for a little longer. And I see we do definitely have some more panelists call in. That's wonderful.
Yes. Thank you. So, Aloysia, we are back.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to go into the domestic violence now?
Whatever you want. Whatever part of your story.
Sure. So,
all yours.
So in continuation of what I started in, I guess, the first segment, I want to touch on a very serious topic of domestic violence. I have progressive steps now from a victim to a survivor to overcomer to a warrior and transcender of so many things, including domestic violence. And as Charlie was mentioning and I was mentioning before, it's so imperative to have a parent be involved in your life more than what providing a paycheck. I always said I needed a parent more than a paycheck. I needed a parent more than a provider. And that's on both ends. Both my parents worked, so my mom helped out too, but they were just not there. You know, they were so stuck in their own dysfunction and their own issues. I was just like an accessory. I was just there, but I wasn't really honored. I wasn't really respected. I wasn't important. And what I needed from my dad is someone to sit down with me, like after school when he would pick me up. As I mentioned, he worked overnight shift, so he's very sleepy. So say you work overnight, you come home, you want to sleep throughout the day. You don't want to get up at 3 o'clock to pick me up from school. And he was very aggravated every day to come pick me up. You know, he'd be grouchy. They had like a corner store where I wanted to maybe get a snack. He wouldn't give me money for a snack. He just had an attitude. You just want to go home. You might just fix me something to eat real quick and then go into his bed. And I just had to sit there, figure out my homework, or wait till he gets up, or wait all these hours by myself until my mom came home. And then when she come home, she'd just go in her room sometimes, lock herself in, not talk to me. Oh, this child won't give me a break. Like, I can't catch a break. I'm just so aggravated. And it was just like, I wish I could have just ran away or flew away or something or disappear and not be seen. Because of that, I was going into the choices that I made in who I associated with and especially who I dated. I didn't have a sign on my face that said, hey, if you're an abuser or, you know, you want to mistreat someone, hey, come use me. But I felt like that's what my face said because I seemed to attract people who were negative and have their own problems and broken themselves. And it's like misery loves company, dysfunction likes dysfunction. And as you mentioned, Bailey, like drama loves drama. So when I would be around this person or these type of people, even in friendships, I'm like, oh, they're going through what I'm going through, you know. They also was in a bad relationship where they had a mom, you know, who would hit them or a dad who would curse them out. And it was just like comfort for me to feel like someone knew what I was going through. However, the danger in that is you're not getting any better. You're not surrounding yourself with anyone who could teach you any different. And I know the famous thing is like when you know better, you do better. And I disagree. I've heard a variation that I love a lot better is when you know better, you choose to do better because you can know everything and still not do anything different. And that's the main issue I had with my parents. You know, it's like I'm tired of talking to them, writing them letters, getting counsel, trying to bring in people, send them videos, send them books. Like, I've done everything. I didn't just leave them hanging. When I learned, I tried to teach them, but they just don't want to move out of where they're at. And it came to a point where I got involved with a gentleman that was also very broken, had a very dysfunctional childhood growing up. The dad and mom were not together, but they didn't treat each other with love or respect in any type of way. And what really drew me to him, he was not my type at all. He was younger than me. It was like nothing that I would usually choose. But he promised me, because he actually listened to my story. That was number one. Someone actually would listen to me, talk to me, compliment me. Like, wait, who, me? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I'm like the most hideous person. Like, I have all the issues. Nobody wants to include me. And I remember him promising me so many things, including, I would never hurt you like that. You know, I would never do what my dad does to my mom. I would never do what your mom does to your dad. And I really trusted this man. And I really trusted people in general in my life who would come in and tell me things that I wanted to hear. Unfortunately, I wasn't old enough or wise enough to know discernment between what people tell you to get what they need and if they really mean it. So it came to the point where it wasn't only verbally and emotionally abusive. He got very violent with me on a number of occasions, and there was one that it got so bad, I thought, like, I might die or something really bad might happen to me. So, and I think for a lot of people out there who've been through domestic violence situations, I definitely want to say this. From the outside, a lot of people come in and say, well, why can't you just walk away, just leave? What, you want to get hit? You want to get abused? You want to stay in this type of relationship? Mm-hmm. And I stayed in it for a while after, and then I would go back and I would leave, and then I would go back and leave. So eventually I had to be strong, and it was the hardest thing I would say in my life to do, was to walk away from this man. And why it's so hard is because you don't think, if you don't know who you are, that you could do better. You don't think that anybody else would want you. You don't think that you can make it. You don't think that life could ever be different. It's like, this is what you know. This is what they ingrained in you. They gaslighted you to think you're making a big deal. You're the problem. Nothing. You're nobody. Nobody's going to want you. And it came to the point where, as hard as it was, for all the people listening out there who have been abused in a domestic violence situation, men and women, and also from a childhood perspective, being abused by your parents, you just have to realize that that does not have to be the end of your story. And the hardest thing, but the best thing you could ever do, is walk away from that situation. Because if you don't walk away and actually heal by yourself and know that you're strong enough, you don't have to jump from relationship to relationship just to feel like, okay, this is what I know, I'm going to stick in this. Or go back to your abusive parents because you have a trauma bond. Or go back to that set of friends that know what you've been through or grew up with you or could relate to everything that you have, because they're not moving forward. You have to go in the direction that you want to go into, and that's forward. You have to leave, unfortunately, the past behind. Someone sent me a great meme or quote the other day, and it says that your eyes are in front of you and not behind your head, because you have to look ahead. It's in the direction that you're going. And I just love that, because I always hear about the, you know, rearview mirror analogy, like it's small because you're not really supposed to look back, but your windshield in your car is huge. So, you know, it's a big window in front of you and you're supposed to look that way. But I love all those analogies, because the hardest thing is, like, the worst thing that you could do is, I've heard someone say, you know, in the cemetery and in the grave, there's so many souls, there's so many people that had opportunities and dreams and a voice and a purpose that's in the grave now. They never lived it out. They never even tried. Maybe some of them didn't even know they had an option, you know? So it's like, right. I know that all of our lives are different and we all have a story, and some of them, just like our story, is very dark and negative, but we still have a pulse, we still have a brain, we still have our limbs and our heart, and our voice, and we just have to use it for the good of this world, not only for yourself, but for other people.
Absolutely. It makes me so happy when I have a fellow advocate, when I meet other advocates, especially in domestic violence, because childhood sexual abuse has become more and more talked about.
Right.
A lot of things have become more talked about, but domestic violence is still swept under the rug. We need awareness. I always say awareness, community education. There are so many women or men living in abusive situations, abusive marriages, abusive relationships, and they're scared to leave. They don't have the money to leave. They don't know about all the resources out there. Don't even get me started with the police, because they need this.
Right.
They need major training. I could sit here all night and tell you my stories with the cops. It was like a joke to them. I was a joke.
Right.
But
yeah.
So when I hear other voices that are out there advocating, and you're doing it for other things. I do it for other things, for mental health and abuse and everything. But domestic violence is one topic that has to be brought up more and more and more, because it is a vicious cycle. It started with your great-great-grandparents, and it kept going down the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And you are
mm-hmm.
breaking
mm-hmm.
that cycle. You are ending that cycle.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to bring
absolutely.
That. Yes. Did you want to say anything else?
I just wanted to say one thing on in what you said. I definitely know what you mean about like the system or the police, and I just want to say this for all the domestic violence victim/hopefully overcomer soon, that I actually also worked in a domestic violence shelter, and I worked in social work for a while, and I would see like the social workers or the counselors or the police in the police stations when I would have to, witness what was going on and bring girls and with kids and families and shelters. And my heart was just going out to them because, I was in their shoes. I'm not just doing a job. That even my bosses and the people that I was working with and the company that I was working with, all their job was nothing to do with the well-being of the person and the victim and their child. It's just how many people can we get in the shelter today? We have numbers. We have this to fill. Did you give them the pamphlet? Did you give them the number they have to call? This is where they have to go to get food stamps, and that's it. Case closed. Like, nobody cared about the person. Like, if they didn't have funding or they didn't have the right paperwork, they were not able to come in, or they would get kicked out. Like, we've had people on the street because they couldn't stay in the shelter because of whatever. Like, you can just have someone there to run, these systems that are related to us and to people who really need help. And they're just willing to do their job, but they're not willing to have a heart. And it's something where it's not like you go through a fast food place and, it's just an exchange. Like, okay, I'm here for a burger. Here's the $1.50 or whatever, and then I'm going to get it. It's like they're coming here for a service that is affecting their heart and their mind and every part of their being. So I just wanted to touch on what you said, that, it's really a whole other topic when you deal with, like, a police officer or someone who's just trying to sign your paper or send you to, a place where you can get help, but they don't even care about your situation.
It's really horrible. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because it makes me so sad. There's so many people that are so scared to come forward. So many people living
exactly
in a way that they're not living. They're existing.
Exactly.
And then their children are witnessing this, so they're being abused. So it's starting another, the generation's going, and what we're trying to do is end that cycle. So,
yes.
You know, there is help everywhere, and there are resources everywhere, in every state. You just have to find the right one. I'm going to bring Mary Ellen back on. Mary Ellen?
Hi. Yep, I'm just listening in, and I do agree that there's so much domestic violence that goes on that just gets either swept away or accepted as normal. I know I went through my share of it, and even to this day, family members are like, what are you talking about? When did that happen? You know, and I'm like, wow, you know, because looking back, those were significant things in my life that I had to overcome. And, and to think that it had no impact on others because they were just busy with their own stuff, you know. I don't know how as a society we let so much go by without stepping up and doing something. So I'm happy for this group and all the work they do. And thank you for everything you're doing. I'm sure it'll make
thank
a
you.
Difference. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Before we go to Darlene, we have about 37 minutes left. I would like to give out our number, 646-595-2118. We love hearing from you. We love having a large panelist and your questions and, you know, anyway. Let's go to Darlene. Darlene. Are you there, Darlene?
Yes, I had to unmute as well. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. I like what you said about, seeing what's in front of you. You know, that's what we have a choice whether or not we're going to survive or thrive, you know, or whether we want to stay back there. But, you know, at first you do have to go through a lot of struggles, and I'm here to help others too because I'm a NASCAR ambassador with Tennessee. So I am here to help others. So if they could go to the website and look up my name, they can see, they can call me just about any time. Sometimes you might not see through the shade. You know, you might need a little help, you know, while you're going through this time in your life. We're not saying, I don't think she is not saying that you are not to go back and try to heal past it. Instead, she's giving you light at the end of the tunnel. She's giving you a light at the end of the tunnel, y'all.
Right, absolutely. Agree.
Are you done, Darlene? Anything else you want to share?
You. I just am admiring how much alike me and her are, you know.
Yeah.
I went through domestic child abuse and abuse from my ex-husband, so.
That's what's great about NASCAR. You know, everybody, you know, we've all been through trauma. Some have had it horrific. Some have had it not as horrific. But trauma, I always say trauma is trauma. PTSD is PTSD. Depression is depression. You know, hurting is hurting. So we understand each other. That's why we're such a large family. And again, there are on the website, NASCA.org. There is so much information on there from every state. I even think Charlie said it's nationally. I know that they started a Spanish translating in Spanish, I believe. We'll go to Charlie soon and he'll confirm that. But that, you know, that's nobody understands you or gets you unless they've been in your shoes. And none of us have been in each other's shoes, but we are empathetic to each other because we get it. So it's very important to have people in your life that get you. So
right.
Are you done, Darlene?
I heard a great quote that I can piggyback off what you're saying. You know, you always hear people say, hurt people hurt people. Yes, we know. However, the second part to that I heard someone add is heal people, heal people. And I loved it because I felt like when you just leave hurt people, it's like if you identify as someone who's been hurt or are hurt, it's like you just are labeled as someone who would just hurt others because you're not healed as yet. But when it's a process, you can't just come out of a domestic violence situation and you can't live in an abusive home for 18 years of your life and then come out healed, you know, and whole. It's like it takes time to reprogram your mind and reprogram your life. But once you're able to do that, or even if you're still in process, you can help heal people or help people even in the process. That's the beauty of it. It's like you may not be perfect, you know, but people are looking for progression. Like, don't be so hard on yourself because you want perfection. It's very easy to want to be what you see someone else is, or, you know, want someone else's life or want the progress and the end result. But, you know, the journey is beautiful as well, because I sometimes I'm like, yeah, man, I'm so healed. I'm so over this. I moved on. And then there's another layer that comes out of life. Like, you're peeling it back like an onion. Like, oh, I might still need to work on this, or I can improve in this, or I can help in this area. And it's just like you keep even learning about yourself. And that's what's so beautiful. Like, life is a journey. You know, it's not just let me get to the end result, let me get married, let me get in a relationship, let me get this job. It's just like instead of just looking forward to the reward, like really enjoy the journey along the way.
Wow. Yep. Absolutely. I'm going to bring Charlie back on.
Hello. Charlie. I am back. So, Aloysia, I've been looking at your YouTube channel. You have another subscriber, and I've been sharing it all over Facebook because I think people need to hear the message, and what a messenger in that message. Thank you. Yeah, well, thank you. It was great news you provided it. You made it easy. I just had to cut and paste the link. That was simple. But, you know, it is an important message. And while NASCA does or doesn't support a spiritual belief system or not believe, would be everybody, no matter, you know, where you're from, what walk of life, what your belief systems are. If you come to this, to NASCA, you know, we know that you're part of our family. But understanding where yours and mine align and some others, you know, seeing how your spiritual journey facilitated you getting to where you are today, that is just inspiring as well. And you know, I'm going to believe for you and be praying in behalf of you that, you know, the hardened hearts or the blinded hearts perhaps of those in your family who aren't seeing what they're not seeing will be open to them in a way that they will see, so that they can change, not for you, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but for themselves. And I think you understand that.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I thank you for that. Amen. It's like if we have the courage just to speak our story, you may not even know it might be even helping that family member. They might even watch my video. So you never know who you're touching by spreading the love and the word of what has happened in your life for the better.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your videos, and I definitely want to make sure I look at all of them. So, again, I appreciate you being here tonight, and I'm just going to go ahead and continue to do what I do, which is hang out in the background.
Well, Charlie,
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
If you were listening, what I was saying, I don't know if you were. NASCA's national is nationally, right?
It's international.
International.
International. We touch around the globe.
And do we still have that Spanish? Translation or whatever on the page.
I'll have to check on that, but I'm gonna let Aloysia get back to her, and I'll look at that, and I'll get back to you on it.
Okay, no worries.
All right, thanks.
Okay, back to you, Aloysia.
Oh, hi guys. I want to thank you so much for all the love and support. It's so nice to see a different side of my story, because I want everyone to know that when you first come out and talk about it, especially about the people that have hurt you or have abused you and they can't even see themselves, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a lot of backlash, a lot of criticism. I have got very negative reviews from my family members. Some didn't say anything. Some said things. Some didn't even respond or comment on it. And I just want to make, you know, a point to say that you have to realize your worth and importance in your story by yourself. It's so hard. I think the hardest journey for me is to finally accept the fact that the people that hurt me, like my ex-boyfriend or like my parents, I don't have to look for acceptance and love from them. I would love it. You know, I still pray for them. I still hope one day maybe we can sit down and actually have a real conversation and maybe get some closure. I have so many questions still. But at the end of the day, I also have to realize that you may never get that. And that is one of the hardest realizations I had to come to, that this journey has only been successful like this because I was able to let go and find my own self-worth that, hey, if they never realize what they did, if they never accept what they did, if they never admit it, if they continue to talk about me, if they continue to think that I was this horrible kid, you know, growing up and I'm a horrible adult, or for the abusive domestic violence situation, like, oh, you deserve that, you know, you provoked that, you did this, you did that, it was your fault. There's so many ways that you could point the finger back at yourself. And I heard another great quote. As you can tell, I love quotes. The person that broke you can never be the person that fixes you. And that was something that had to become a reality for me. I was seeking so badly from my parents and from my ex and from people validation and acceptance and worth. And you have to realize that your worth and your identity and your value is not based at all by how they treat you. So by them mistreating you is actually showing you who they are and what they think of themselves and their own character. And that's something that people have to come to the realization and really, really believe that in their heart, that you're worth it because you know that about yourself and not because of how someone speaks to you or mistreats you. It doesn't define who you are.
That's very true. And I have a quote for you. Never go back to what broke you. What broke you. So,
definitely.
I mean, if you get onto my Facebook page, I post like crazy. And I post a lot of stories. A lot of stories that I, or articles on LinkedIn. A lot of the other members, NASCA family members, have been posting a lot on Instagram. So I haven't on NASCA's Instagram page. So I have not been posting too many things because they've been doing it for me. So, I mean, I relate so much to so many of the quotes that are out there and the memes that are out there and the articles. Sometimes I feel like I'm reading a story, my story, in somebody else, or pieces
right.
of a story in somebody else. So, there's so many people out there, you know, that finally get the strength and leave. And then there are others, unfortunately, that don't get the chance to leave and unfortunately end up not here, you know. And during COVID, it's been known that domestic violence has spiked. Abuse has spiked.
Right.
Childhood abuse has gone up because, people have been locked in homes with their abusers. And that, I can't even imagine. I just can't.
Right.
So.
It's so unfortunate that that's what's going on. But
we still have a good 22 minutes to go, so the mic is all yours.
Do we have any callers or anyone have any questions?
We can go back to my friend, she dropped. It could be her phone died. We can go back to Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen, anything you want to share?
No, I would rather just listen. I've gained a lot of knowledge listening tonight. She's a very good speaker, and I've really enjoyed having her on.
Oh, thank you so much.
I can relate to so much of it, so, yeah. I will continue to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
I have two more folks here that I can share since it's just so inspiring. One of them says, "You are not your pain. Don't allow what hurts you to become your identity." And there was another one that says, "To change your life, change your hats, H-A-T, habits, associations, and thoughts." I just wanted to touch on that because I spoke a lot about associations and who you allow in your life and boundaries because, like I said, we all have a choice in who we allow and whose life we enter as well. And I also spoke on habits and just being in the same cycle and continuing what you're trying to escape from. But I want to touch on something in your thoughts. Like, even if you actually get out of the situation, if it's your childhood home that you grew up in that was abusive, or you actually leave the bad relationship, you could physically leave, but you can mentally still be in captivity. And that's a very, very important point that I want to just bring up. It took me personally years, and it's still something that, you know, affects me from time to time. Your thoughts, it's like you sometimes think about what had happened, and you replay it in your mind like a movie. And you think about what you should have done or what you should have said and how you could have been different or maybe why it was your fault. And I just want to speak life into those people that, you know, we all have new mercy every day. We all have an opportunity once you have life and breath and love in your heart to make a difference in your future. And I think it all begins with yourself. That's the biggest probably challenge that most people have is what they think about. If you don't think about positive things in your mind and heart about yourself, then usually those negative things come out of your mouth. And, you know, negative self-talk is the worst thing that you can do. Oh, I'm so stupid. You know, I'm dumb for staying in this relationship. I deserved my parents to beat me, or I deserved an alcoholic, spouse, or I deserve to get fired from this job, or I'm never going to be anything. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to have a different life. I'm always going to be here. Those things keep you in bondage, even if you escape physically. So I just want to tell everyone, please, 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 speak positive affirmations and truth over yourself, because when you continue to speak lies, that's all you're going to believe is those lies. If it's the lies that other people have placed on you and labeled you, or labels and lies that you've placed on yourself, your thoughts are so important in the healing process. So if you can remember HATS, Bishop Dale Bronner said, HATS stands for habits, associations, and thoughts. And I think that's also a really great point.
Absolutely. It's very, very hard, you know, to get to the point where you can, you know, self-talk, you know, where you, you know, remind yourself, this was not my fault. I did the best I could, you know. We can't blame ourselves for somebody else's actions. And, you know, it's unfortunate that your parents never got proper help, you know. One thing I always said is I'm thankful I didn't have any daughters, you know. God didn't give me any daughters for a reason, because
right,
their father's not in the picture. That would be horrible. So anyway, we have a new caller, Tanya. Let's bring her on.
Hello.
Welcome. Yes, welcome.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to be on the show.
Tanya.
Hi, Aloysa.
I think I know this caller.
you do know this caller. And I just wanted to say that I'm so happy that Aloysa is on here to share her story, as you have said many times, not just a difficult story, but a story of triumph. And I want to just encourage those who are listening to really listen to what Aloysa is saying, that though she's been through such a difficult life experience, she is doing the hard work, and she is trusting God to renew her mind, to strengthen her. So I just want to encourage those who are listening to know that there's hope in your situation. Like Aloysa said, I think it's so poignant that there are so many people who, when you look at a cemetery, that there are so many people who have dreams and hopes. And I know that there are people on this line who have dreams and hopes. And so I'm hoping and praying that they are knowing that Aloysa's triumph is not one that someone else cannot have, that you too can have that triumph, that God has created you for a purpose. And even though your story may be difficult, there is a God who has created you, who loves you, who wants to renew you, who wants to bring your hard situation into something beautiful. And I see that in Aloysa, and I just want to say that even listening to her, I know her story. I've walked with her for many years, but I'm just so encouraged to hear her tell her story on this platform. So, yeah, I just wanted to encourage her and let her know that I'm listening, and I'm learning from her in a new way, too, as I'm listening. So I just wanted to share that and hope that, yeah, I'm just excited that she's on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes, no problem.
So, Bailey, Tanya is my CFC. Tanya is my CFC. You know, people have like BFF, like my best friend forever. She's
right.
My CFC, right. So my closest sister in Christ. That's what I call her. And she has been my rock, man, for a number of years. We met in church, and we've just clicked from, like, the first day. And I just remember her listening again, like one of the few people that would actually sit there. I'm like, oh man, I have to tell my story. No one wants to hear my story. No one can help me. I really felt hopeless at a lot of points in my life. Like, you know, I tell my story. I'm so hurt. I'm broken, but I don't feel like I'm going to move on from this point, because you get actually sick of saying what has happened to you, you know, because you want a new story. You want a new narrative. And that's what I wanted so badly. And I just remember, and I shared this with her the other night, that I don't know if she remembers, like the first time we went out, we went to Red Lobster and I sat there and I was like, man, I'm probably boring her for all these hours. And I went like from beginning to end of my life and she just listened. And I kid you not, I'm telling my story and she cried. I was confused. I was like, oh my gosh, she cried. And I was like, oh man, I made this girl cry. And she was just like, I'm crying because God loves you. Jesus loves you so much. And it was so confusing to me. I was like, did this girl just say what I said? Like, I just said my whole story. She's talking about God loves me. Okay, yes, we know God loves me, but how can you help me? Like, did you hear what they did to me? Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what I went through? And it was just like she was the first person to really open up my eyes to say, yes, I do hear you, but God hears you too, and he wants to heal you. You don't have to go through the rest of your life saying the same narrative. You could change your story. It may not happen overnight, but there is hope and light. And you could have a new beginning. Just because it started off rough doesn't mean that it's going to end rough, you know. And she was just, she has just been, you know, she's a mom, she's a wife, and she still makes time to listen to me and to hear, to take my calls and to support me. And I just want to nationally say, like, I love you so much, and I just really appreciate you as my CSC.
That's amazing. I can relate to the BFF or CSC, whatever you want to call it. It's unfortunate. My friend Leah dropped her call drop, but we have a lot of similarities in our stories. Unfortunately, we're like a group of girls that went to high school together. Some of them know each other from, like, as young as 5. I came into the picture when we were, like, 16 or 15. And, and we were a whole group, and we all had horrific domestic violence divorces. You know, we have a friend overseas who is trying to get out of a horrific marriage. She's overseas. Her kids don't have passports. Her family's not there. And talking about, you know, crying, when you listen, you know, your heart breaks because it's like, you know, they deserve better. They deserve a new chapter. We all deserve peace and happiness, you know?
Exactly,
and
of course.
It's so sad to see people that are, you know, that are trying but are still stuck because it's not their fault. It's not their fault. You know, I'm a fighter. So, you know, I try to say that, show them it's possible to get to move forward and to give them hope. So, you know, I relate to that tremendously, that it's so important to have a support system. I'm very lucky.
Absolutely.
I didn't have any childhood abuse, thank God. I have a wonderful family, and they were very involved in my situation and very helpful. So I was blessed in that way, but you know, it's extremely important to have someone. You know, I also have my therapist. Like, out of the blue today, I texted her. I really need to talk to you about something. She made time for me. It's so important to have people other than God, because we, you know, on this show, it's not a religious show, but people believe in all different kinds. You know,
I usually say higher power. You have to believe in a higher power in order to get through any of this stuff. Otherwise, you don't make it through. And you can be angry at the higher power, but eventually you're thankful to them. So, back to you.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, as you say, fight, that really stirs something in me because it's a constant fight. You know, to be honest with everyone, and I'm sure you know it in yourself, you know, just having faith is a fight. Faith is what a hope in what you cannot see. So imagine being in a domestic violence situation or being that child like me hiding under the bed, scared, don't know what's going to happen, but you have faith that, you know, one day I'm going to get out of here. One day I'm not going to have bruises that I have to cover up to go to work. One day I'm going to have my own life. I'm going to have my own place. I'm going to have my own car. I'm going to have my own money. Like, you have to fight. You have to believe. And I think that is what I've heard a lot of people say that they admire most about me is, here's another quote, you know, all it takes is for bondage to come back and apologize. Please, 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 people, do not, whatever you do, and I know you might go back, and I know I went back, it's so easy to go back to what you know. It's so easy to believe that this person who abused you and manipulated you and lied to you is going to be better, is going to be different, is going to be, you know, the person that you want them to be, and they're going to say all the right things, and they're going to do all the right things to get you back. But once they get you back in that cycle, that's it. They're going to show their true colors again. So I just want to give people hope and faith to fight. Fight for your life. Fight for your freedom. Fight to get out of this bondage that you're in. Fight that you have life for a reason. You have a purpose. There's a reason that you were placed on this planet, that God allowed you, as Tonya said, to be born. And I heard it said so well today. One of my favorite pastors had said, you know, you are born with a purpose, and your purpose means that you are supposed to be a problem solver. There was a problem on this earth that God saw, that he wanted to use you to solve it. Like, that's such a high calling. That's such a high position. Like, wow, God thought about me. There's a reason why I'm here. It's not just because, you know, my parents messed up and, you know, they had me. Despite how you got here, you're here. And you have to take this not lightly. Like, life is a gift. You know, every day it says it's like the present. That's why it's called the present. You know, it's a gift. And even though you may have bumps in the road, even though it may be hard and not every day is peachy at all, and you might have flashbacks and you might suffer from PTSD and you might still maybe be in that situation, or your parents passed away before you could ever forgive them or you could explain what they did to you, or they have so many people that have a story. Just remember that you still have a chance to make a difference. You still have a chance to have a different life, to have a different narrative, to help somebody else. Like, it's so easy to go back to what you know. But imagine, like, if I thought about, oh, man, all these years that I suffered, like, my whole life, you know, could have ended, or my whole life is just wasted away. No, you have a whole life in front of you. Like, your second half of your life could be better. Even if you're older, even if you're divorced, like, you know, people on this broadcast had mentioned they're divorced for 20-something year marriage, or you're older, you're retired, you still have life in you. I hear all these wonderful, inspirational stories about people who went back to school and who got their degree after they raised their kids, or elderly people running marathons. It's like, what? Really? You go, girl. Because why are you here just to sit and rot away? You have a problem to solve, and you go through things in your life, as you stated, for a reason. Like, that's just not a quote. Like, I really believe that my purpose, even though my story has been so hard and it's still difficult at times, that it's supposed to be one that I was supposed to have, because I was supposed to be here to speak to people who are hurting and are broken and who've been through all the things that I've been through, to give them hope, even if it's on this broadcast, if it's on my YouTube channel, if it's on a Zoom call that I'm part of all these groups, or even if it's just somebody that I meet, you know, and I don't mention anything about myself, but I just listen. I actually become the person that I never had for me. It's just so life-fulfilling, as you mentioned. If you could just help one person or just heal one person or just sit and write in your own diary that, you know, today I'm healing. I feel more healed than yesterday. You know, I'm completely healed. I'm beginning to heal. I went out and fixed my own car today, and I didn't, you know, need help from my ex-husband. Or you just do things for yourself. You went out and bought ice cream for yourself. You treated yourself. You are nice to yourself. You love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself and learn to treat yourself nicely and celebrate yourself by yourself, you could never be enough for somebody else, or someone else could never be enough for you.
100%. 100%. Yep. That's so true. You have to love yourself in order to love someone else. That's one of the biggest problems.
Yes.
So let's see if Charlie has anything. We have about 3 minutes left. See if Charlie has anything he wants to say. Welcome back.
Hey, hello. It's been a while. I just want to say, Aloysia, what a powerful message you have. And as you said, you were placed here, as we all were, for such a time as this. And while the world seems in disarray, we know that's just a masquerade for what's really going on. So you have encouraged me tonight, and I'm sure you're encouraging our listeners and our listeners in the future. As I said earlier, this show will be archived and stays into perpetuity. Definitely reference people back to it, but powerful message, powerful information, and what an amazing transformation you have begun. You've come out of your cocoon and you're flapping your butterfly wings, and you keep going. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Charlie. And Transcender, that's the word you left with me tonight. Transcender, I love it. And Warrior from Bailey.
Yeah, Warrior. Let's give everybody another couple of seconds. Mary Ellen, let's go back to her quickly. Any closing statements or words you have for Aloysia?
I'm going to be sure to check out your site, and I appreciate everything you've shared tonight. Keep doing the good work. We look forward to hearing from you again. Take care.
Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. We're going to go to Darlene. Darlene, anything you have about 2 seconds?
Hello?
Any closing? Yes. Darlene,
yes,
any closing?
I would like to thank her for showing up and her story. And I want to remind people, as she said, you are not your abuse. You are a different person. You are not what happened to you.
Right.
Yes,
thank you so
absolutely.
Much, Darlene. Okay, let's quickly.
Thanks, Darlene.
Let's go back to Tanya quickly. Tanya, any closing words?
I just want to say that, again, reiterate that that I'm so happy that Aloysia's on, that everyone could hear her story, and that, again, that, you know, your story doesn't have to end with where it began, and that there's hope. So, yeah, just praying for those out there. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you, sis.
I'm going to give a quick closing statement. Thank you so much, Aloysia, for being on our show tonight. NASCA Family, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, we appreciate having a new family member, a new guest, sharing her story. You did an amazing job. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Thank you.
Talk Radio.